let's just at least touch some of the points today, into the next few days. So the Mechaber talks about the issue of wearing multiple sets of clothing. A person's wearing the same two of the same item. So Mechaber says it's mutter to wear two shirts, two coats. It's mutter to wear more than one of the same type of item, one on top of the other. And that's because there are times a person does that. It's very cold. A person could wear two pairs of pants, two shirts, whatever it might be. The only question which comes up is the Mechaber raises the question. Mechaber says you're allowed to wear two belts, one on top of the other. And the Moss says it's a problem wearing two belts, one on top of the other, because the purpose of a belt is to hold something up. You don't usually wear multiple belts to hold something up. However, to wear a belt on your pants and then put your jacket on and put a belt on top of your jacket, put your coat on and put a belt on top of your coats, where you're wearing it, each one is functioning to hold something else in place, so that's mutter. But to wear one belt directly on top of another belt, that's not you should not do that, the Ramah says. So therefore, in the case we discussed the Shabbos belts, if you integrate your Shabbos belt into your regular belts, so that's fine. If you do not integrate your Shabbos belt into your regular belts, so you have to take off your regular belt and only use your Shabbos belt. You can't wear, or alternatively, wear your Shabbos belt on top of your jacket, on top of your coat. Some people have a minute that they walk around wearing a gartel on Shabbos. So the same thing, a gartel is usually worn on top of their jacket. So even though they're wearing a belt on their pants, wearing a gartel on top of the jacket would not be a problem because it's another layer. A person has a coat, and the coat comes with a belt. It has loops, and it comes with a belt, right? So can you wear the Mishabur discusses the issue of discussing wearing a different belt on the coat and not using that belt. It says since that belt is sewn into the coat, so it becomes part of the coat. So even though it's not, you're not tying yourself with that belt, using a different thing to tie yourself. So let's say, for example, some person has a reflector belt, so he wants to use a reflector belt to act as the belt on his coat. But there is, besides that, there's the belt which comes in with the coat, which is not, he's not using at the point in time. So Mishabur says if it's sewn into the coat, some of these belts come in the back, they're sewn in the back. So it's not a problem, it's bolted to the back, and even though you're not using that belt, using the reflector belt instead. However, it sounds like Mishabur, simple reading of Mishabur, if it's not sewn in, it's just placed through the loops, but it's not sewn in, if you're not going to be using that belt, it's going to be a problem. So that means the person would want to wear his coat open and not use the belt, so he'd be questionable according to what the Mishabur is reading. So that way the Mishabur seems here, that's the way it is. The Shmir Shabbos Kilkos are brings from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal. Shlomo Zalman said that this issue, in a situation where the belt comes with the coat, it's made specifically for the coat, it's made designated to be part of the coat, even if it's not sewn in, you can make a good argument that it's going to be considered both to the bag and part of the bag. Even in the springtime, it's not so hot out, you want to wear a coat for some level of protection. You don't want to close it, so you're going to leave your belt hanging down. That would not be a problem. And this is what I think is what we said on that. So that would not be a problem. A question comes up wearing a just on that topic, wearing a jacket or a coat over his shoulders without placing his arms in the sleeves. Is that considered acceptable? So if the derech of that place to do is to wear items like that, it's mutter to wear like that. That's called wearing it. There's no halacha, you have to put the arms into the sleeves to consider wearing. If this is called normally wearing, this would be mutter. The Chazon Ish is quoted to have said that that's mutter, and he actually supposedly did like that. Of course, Rav Nissim Krelin says that he told him he was not sure. So it's very hard to understand that there's aedus that he did it, and he said he's not sure. Right? So that's difficult for me to understand exactly what happened, which one happened. It's hard to believe that he did it if he wasn't sure. So that seems to be correct. That if it'd be normal in this place to wear like that, sometimes people wear their jacket over their shoulders without putting their arms in the sleeves. That's a derech levisha, and that's going to be mutter. If nobody around here would ever do such a thing, it looked really strange to do such a thing, it would not be derech levisha, and a person should not do that. Okay, one of the questions comes up with wearing a hat on Shabbos. So is that the Shulchan Aruch brings a concern with wearing a hat that maybe it will fall off, and the wind will blow it off, and the person will pick it up and carry it to Al-Adamas before he puts it back on. He's not thinking, he'll put it, carry it to Al-Adamas so it's only mutter. Therefore, if it's going to be, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, and it's only mutter, it's mehudik b'roi shoy, it's on very tightly, or it's tied underneath your chin, so that, you know, if you ever wonder what that string you have around going your hat is for, now you know what it's made for. It's made to put it down under, or they have these cowboy hats and they have this thing which ties underneath, so you think it's like strange. Actually, it might be the best way to wear a hat on Shabbos. Okay, you heard it here. Right? So the Mishnah Berurah says, however, if you're not wearing a yarmulke, then it's not a problem, because we're not questioning that a person will walk Dalai Lama without something on his head. So if the wind will blow it off, and he pick it up, he put it on immediately before he works any further. So it comes out wearing a yarmulke, the older generation used to wear their hats without a yarmulke, would be much better in a halacha. Now, of course, they kept the yarmulke in their pocket. That'd be a different issue. You shouldn't be carrying the yarmulke in your pocket. But if you'd have a yarmulke in shul, a yarmulke at home, you'd wear your hat without a yarmulke, would be much better in a halacha, out of this concern. He says, the mice of the minig is that you know, many people are not machben on this. The argument being, this is concerning because of Rishus HaRabim. If you argue that nowadays we don't have Rishus HaRabim, it's very uncommon to have Rishus HaRabim, which is why we make a Reuben around cities, etc. So you understand why this halacha has, excuse the pun, fallen by the wayside. That being said, a person's walking in an area where there's a very good argument that it probably is Rishus HaRabim, so this halacha would be something to be aware of and to be concerned about. So a person should wear a hat, at least definitely in a way where it's going to be on tight and it's going to not fly off. So how tight does it have to be that, you know, that we this halacha, you know, obviously a person has to be, you know, be practical, but so it has to be able to stay on your in that area where you are. What's considered ruach matsuya, the hat can withstand ruach matsuya. So if, you know, if all of a sudden there's going to be some gusts once in a while, that's not what we're worried about. I mean, again, we're worried about, you should be obviously aware not to carry, but the point is the isser, this gzeirah d'rabbanan of not wearing the hat because of that chashash, doesn't apply for Ruach Shein and Metzuya, because the main thing was considered Ruach Metzuya in that place and in that time. This the Mishnah Kareltz, you know, made that point. We look at each place and each time, you know, each place and what the weather is like right now. That's what you have to be concerned about. And that's, so if I can wear it, a hat which basically would stand on the normal wind, which is going right now, 10 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour, whatever it might be, and one day it'll be 5 miles an hour, depending on the situation, what the weather is like. I don't recall that I give you the sif to look at about the issue of the oil, the hats being an oil. Yeah, we did that. Okay. So there is another question which comes up. This is shot. How to learn the Gemara? This is Rashi shot in the Gemara. The other Rishonim have the shot in the Gemara. The Gemara is not making such a gzeira. So it could be the reason why we're not making on this, because according to other Rishonim, there's no such gzeira. The other Rishonim, however, learned that there's a problem of the Gemara was discussing an issue of making an oil. Now it's a chiddush in the kuda of making an oil, because usually we don't answer an oil unless there is, as Mr. Brewer points out, it's without the fondness. So the only is the rabbanon, which is also the rabbanon. So in most we're talking, so a person put a hat on, and he's creating an oil around him to give him shade, etc. So if the size of the oil is a tefach, it's going to be also. So you have a very wide brim in your hat, 3 inches wide, which is not so wide, right? Now you know why the new style of the short, the more narrow brims is coming back in, because they're worried about this halacha. So you know, we were bucking, like nobody had such a problem, and so like, it wasn't such a, then it came wider and wider, you know. Yushalmi hats, they definitely have this issue. So they're a tefach wide. So the Mechaber says that a person which should not put it on even in your house because it's a problem making an oil. However, it says this halacha is only if it's hard, if it's soft, then it would bend, which most of our hats are soft, they do bend. So it's not a problem. So the average scenario, that's not going to be such an issue. Mishnah Berurah does seem to talk about something, they had some type of hat which was hard and it was an issue. He says even so, if there's people in that makom are being makel, you know, mechuyav d'mimoicha. Why not? Because this is one pshat in the Gemara. There's other pshat in the Gemara which doesn't say this. The bear hated over here, and the Shari Tshuva raised the question of umbrellas. And Shabura skirts the issue and says, look at Siman Shintazayim, when he talks about the lochas of oil on Shabbos, Shintazvav, the oil on Shabbos, we'll talk about it over there. So we have reprieve right now. Don't carry bells on Shabbos. For now, we'll discuss the question which they're dealing with is it the Raisa? Many who hold it is the Raisa to open up an umbrella on Shabbos. His umbrellas probably could be more different than our umbrellas. My umbrellas pastor would not be the Raisa. Chazanish says maybe our umbrellas nowadays would be mutter. But he says that you should not do it because the zilzal carbon Shabbos, not to do it. But so the Mishabura seems to be somewhere in the middle that he holds it in the Siddur Rabbanan. Okay, just maybe one more point over here. Gloves. So wearing gloves on Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch brings the first sheet that says that you're allowed to wear gloves on Shabbos. It's in Sif Lamed Zayin. And then he says there are some people who say that it's only mutter if you tie them to your beged, tie them to a beged before Shabbos. It has to be tied with a kesher shakayama, or it has to be sewn to the beged. And the mechaber ends up v'roy lachush ledvorov. He says this chashash. Now the chashash that the Meforshei Shulchan Aruch explained what we're worried about was where the person would take off his glove to scratch a kino, and that was apparently a common chashash that they had, and that's a word about that. Now nowadays I have not seen that happen to many people. Most people pulling off gloves to scratch a kino. Baruch Hashem, that's not what we're grappling with. On the other hand, we do have other reasons why it's common to take off gloves, so therefore the Pesim do suggest, and Mishabura comes out, that a Baal Nefesh should be machmer on this issue. The Bir Loch raises the question, what exactly does this tying it to the beged accomplish? Right? So you take it off, it's hanging down. It's still, you're mamash carrying it. So therefore, because of that question, the Gro and the Taz and the Grav don't understand why that should be mutter. So the Teretz of the Bir Locha says is the point was if at that point in time you would take your hands out since it's tied to, he brings two truths. It says we'd be tied to the beged, you'd be carrying it. The Tosfos Shabbos says, but it wouldn't be derech hutzah. So it don't be the rabbanon. So you don't make a gzeir after the rabbanon. So that the heter is based on the fact that if it's tied onto the beged, so that would not be derech hutzah. If that's the argument, the chart should be mutter, even without a kasher shakayam. The Shulchan Aruch seems to say that the heter is based on the fact that it's tougher. The argument of the fact that it's tougher, it becomes an extension of the beged. It's along the lines of what we discussed, the hood. You have a hood attached to your beged. And I'm not wearing the hood, so why is it mutter? I'm carrying this hood in the back of my bag. The answer is that's part of the bag. And I don't use that as part of the bag all the time. Same way I said you're allowed to wear a bag without having your arms on the sleeves. You're carrying the sleeves. No, I'm wearing a bag. That's how you wear a bag. So I'm wearing a bag without the hood. I'm wearing a bag right now, which has an extension which goes over the fingers, which I'm not using right now. That's part of the bag. So that that's the lomans of the heter. You need the afka, should be a kesher shakayama or a tefira to make it a continued extension of the bag and part of the bag. So those are the two terutzim that he gives. One is that. Which seems to be on the setting of the Shulchan Aruch, the heter is because it becomes part of the beged, which is why it requires it has to be a tefira or a kesher shakayama, yafa. So it has to be part of the. Now the Rabbah says you can attach it with some type of a clasp would also be considered a valid. The current Rabbah's argument why that's mutter because he understands it's considered he understands this mahalach. We all hold even a clasp would accomplish that. So I just practical lemaisa. Well, I was living in Cleveland, so live in Silver Spring. It never gets cold anyway, so you don't have to wear gloves, right? But you live in Cleveland, and you're talking about it's below zero before the wind chill, it's 30 below with the wind chill, and you're walking to yeshiva, and you're walking a 15-minute walk. It's cold. You need gloves. So, but supposed to be machmer. Even though the chashash of taking off gloves under that circumstance is probably less. You're not really taking off your gloves to shake somebody's hand at that point in time. But what I did is I took a sweater and I attached my gloves to my sweater with safety pins. So, according to the El Yerabah, that's considered a clasp. So I attached it beforehand and I would use that. So I didn't have to attach it to my coat. I had this pair of gloves attached to a sweater, and that's the way it was. And those Shabbosim, I used that sweater, and that's how I had my gloves attached to that. And that was the answer that I came up with to get around to address this issue of Baal Nefesh being machmer. I'm not sure if Baal Nefesh or not, but the Maisa was a good way to have a yeshiva shechumra. Okay, have a good morning.